Good morning and welcome to worship on this spring morning with the congregation of Christ Jesus here in Rock Valley, Iowa. This reminder, our congregational meeting to elect a new deacon and a new elder immediately following our worship service this morning. Our call to worship this Lord's Day from Psalm 20. Now I know that the Lord saves His anointed. He will answer him from His holy heaven with the saving might of His right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. Well, let us bow our hearts before the Lord our God in silent prayer. Beloved, our help is in the name of the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. Receive His greeting. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from Jesus Christ His Son, through the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us take up our hymnals and turn to number 300. Number 300, a versification of Psalm 145, "The Lord upholds the faltering feet." Let's sing all three stanzas of 300.
Thank you.
Galatians 6. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks that he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Number 70, Thy tender mercies, O my Lord. Let's sing the three stanzas of number 70. Those who are reconciled to God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and filled with His Holy Spirit delight in the law of God. To these God speaks all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. Let us unite our hearts in prayer before the Lord our God. Almighty, eternal God, perfect in holiness, sovereign in power, thou art the only true and living God. Lord, all creation sings thy praise in wisdom. Thou hast designed them all and given life, Lord, to all that is alive, to all that grows. Lord, it created man in thine own image. Thou knowest that we are dust infused with life by thine own spirit. Lord, we thank thee and praise thee for the dignity with which we are crowned. Lord, a dignity which is assaulted by our own rebellion against thee. Lord, assaulted by all of our sinful attitudes toward thee and toward each other. Lord, dignity which is under assault by ourselves and our own foolishness and by our fellow man, Lord, and by all the forces in this world that would rule over us and control us and tyrannize us. And Lord, we thank thee and praise thee this day that we can meet here in thy presence, in the beauty of holiness, and that we can know and be assured that we are thine, that we belong to thee, body and soul, in life and in death, that in thee we are free. And Lord, we thank and praise thee for all of this. Lord, thou knowest the needs, the very real needs represented by every person here in this sanctuary today. Lord, thou knowest us better than we could ever know ourselves. And Lord, as we humble ourselves before thee, as we meet in thine own presence, Lord, we pray that thou wilt minister to the needs, the personal needs of every individual here, for body, mind, and soul. Lord, we pray for our brother Corey Van Manen in the diagnosis that he has been given, in the whole process of prognosis and getting an accurate handle on the disease, the extent of it, the challenge of treating it, And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt give the doctors wisdom and give this panel of specialists, Lord, insight into his case. Lord, give this, and most of all, Lord, we pray that Thou wilt be very near to Corey and Sarita, that Thou wilt give strength and healing to his body, that the cancer may be contained, and that Thou wilt give to him a new lease on life. And Lord, we pray that through it all he may feel the life of Jesus Christ welling up within him, as Jesus promised to the woman at the well of Samaria, that all who believe will have this well of water springing up within him to eternal life. And Lord, we thank Thee and praise Thy name that we already are raised to new life. Lord, that eternal life is not something that we have to wait until eternity to enjoy, but that we can have this eternal life right now, every day. And Lord, we thank Thee and praise Thee for the vast privilege of living the Christian life, of being representatives of Jesus Christ before the world. We thank You, Lord, for the three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. And we pray, Lord, that we may be faithful representatives of true faith in the face of fear all around us, that we may be representatives of living hope in a world which despairs under the threat of dying. And Lord, we pray that we may also be living representatives of love in action, Lord, true love that is built upon the foundation of our most holy faith. Lord, how our hearts rejoice in Jesus Christ, He who is all our righteousness before Thee. Lord, He without whom we would have no standing before Thy throne or in Thy sight. And Lord, we thank and praise Thee for such a wonderful Savior, Lord, who lived the life we were all called to live. And Lord, and we thank Thee for Him who is willing to give His life a substitutionary sacrifice, Lord, to satisfy Your curse upon all who sin against Thee. And Lord, we thank and praise Thee again this day for Jesus Christ, in whom we are justified in Thy sight, through whose life and grace and Holy Spirit we are sanctified more each day. Lord, through whose sovereign saving grace for us we are destined to glory and the experience of heaven in Thine own presence with pleasures at Thy right hand forevermore. And Lord, for all of this, we pray that You will equip us again this day, that we may be Thy people in this world, faithful witnesses, Lord, of Thy holiness, Thy justice, Thy mercy, and Thy saving grace. Lord, so enable us as Thine own people to go forth into a new week again this day. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Let us give to God our morning offering. The first for general fund, the second for local gyms, clubs, particularly our own gym club here in Rock Valley. Lord God in heaven, be pleased to receive these tithes and offerings, Lord, as representative that our whole life belongs to you. And Lord, we pray for the GEMS organization, girls everywhere in the Master's service, and we pray, Lord, that a new generation of godly girls and women would be raised up to serve you, to praise you, to become godly wives and mothers, and raise yet the next generation that you will call forth, Lord, to praise you both for time and for eternity. To that end, use these gifts and these offerings given today in Jesus' name and for His purpose. Amen. Our text this morning draws quite heavily on Psalm 2, particularly the concepts of the Son of God, kiss the Son and worship Him, the iron rod, who has an iron rod, thou shalt dash them with a rod, and the blessing of all who trust in Jesus Christ. Blessed are they that trust in Him. Let's sing the Psalm 2 before our sermon this morning. Number 3 in your Psalters, Wherefore Do the Nations Rage? Let's turn together in the Word of God to the book of Revelation, the second chapter, Revelation chapter 2, finding verse 18. This, the third church in Jesus' address to the seven churches. We've had Smyrna, Pergamum, and this morning, now the third church, Thyatira. Hear now the word of God. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, the words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your works, your love and faith and service and patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Behold, I will throw her onto a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her I will throw into great tribulation unless they repent of their works. And I will strike her children dead, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches mind and heart, and I will give to each of you according to your works. But to the rest of you in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan, to you I say, I do not lay on you any other burden. Only hold fast what you have until I come. The one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Beloved of God in Christ Jesus, everyone's identity is shaped by something. It's true of people. It's true of cities. It's true of countries. The city of Thyatira was not a large city, yet it receives the longest message of any of the seven churches. Thyatira was not a very important political or religious center either. Its claim to fame was manufacturing and commercial. Therefore, it had many trade guilds, each with its own patron god and goddess. Thyatira, as it happened, was located in a broad valley with really no natural defenses for it, and as a result was very vulnerable to capture by their enemies. And in the ebb and flow of Eastern Mediterranean politics, this city, this expanded town had changed hands on a fairly regular basis, which is probably why they became a well-known center for the manufacture of military weapons. And it was, in fact, a military town, and metalworking in the manufacturing of weapons was one of its key industries. Another well-known industry, which I'm sure many of you already know, is that of dyeing fabrics, especially that deep royal purple You remember Lydia, one of the first to believe in Christ in the province of Macedonia, and that she was an exporter of purple cloth from Thyatira. As we've said, the influence of the trade guilds here in this city would prove to be a challenge to the church's faithfulness to Christ. Thyatira did have one special temple dedicated to Apollo, the sun god. Knowing all this about Thyatira helps us to understand the introduction of Jesus Christ to this church's pastor. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, "The words of the Son of God, who has eyes like flames of fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze." You see, the real Son of the Most High God is Jesus Christ, not Apollo. Eyes like flames of fire represent omniscience. Jesus is the one who knows everyone's heart and everyone's mind. His gaze burns right through the facade, which might be covering up what's actually going on. And behind all of this church's virtue is a very, very serious vice. Feet like burnished bronze represents omnipotence and how powerful the forces of Satan can appear, how threatening they can be, but real omnipotence, real power, sovereign power belongs alone to God. And this omnipotence is for the stomping down of anything that oppresses and opposes God's people. Now, any citizen of Thyatira who had walked through the city, walked by the smelting furnaces where the metal was purified and forged into weapons, would be familiar with the penetrating heat and the cleansing power of this fire, and this figure of one with eyes like fire, like flames of fire, cleansing fire, would have spoken very powerfully to them. They would also be familiar with the strength of anything made out of polished bronze. Insight that cleanses away the dross of error and sin, power to stomp out any threat to ultimate authority, which of course belongs to God alone. We begin with commendation, as Christ does. "I know your works, your love and faith, service and patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first." Verse 19. The church in Thyatira had love for God and for each other. Yes, they did. And Christ Himself is not going to take that away from them. And they had faith which trusted and depended upon God. They had service, a willingness to work. That's important. For faith without works is dead, the Bible tells us. They possessed the humility to actually serve one another in works of service, considering others better than themselves. And they had patient endurance, the will to keep on going, especially when not everything works out right away, as it usually doesn't. On top of it all, Jesus said, their latter works exceeded their first. They just kept getting better and better at all of this. Instead of running out of steam, they found more energy to do even more than they had done before. Do you get a sense for the affection and the energy and the persevering spirit of this congregation? Here our Lord lists some of the most excellent qualities which any church can possibly possess. And notice here that the term works in the lineup refers to both external activities but also to internal qualities like faith and perseverance. You might say that this church is is in very excellent shape and in a very enviable position. If only this commendation by the Son of God could be given to all churches. So having said all this, with all this being true, what could possibly go wrong? And how is it possible for a church with so much virtue to end up as messed up as they did? While the hint for the flaw may be found in the order of virtues listed. Which brings us to our second point this morning, the sinful vices of Jezebel condemned. Notice from the start that love is mentioned first. And this is going to be a problem. Love is mentioned first in the lineup of virtues commended by Christ. Your love and faith and service and patient endurance. Love is mentioned first, not because love is first. And this is the point this morning. Faith is first. True faith must be the root out of which the fruit of love grows, and not the other way around. And that's what they got wrong. True love, God-glorifying love, must sprout, blossom, and bear fruit from where? From true faith, and from that alone. And initially, we assume that the love of the church in Thyatira is mentioned first because it was the most apparent, the most obvious quality in their church life together. And indeed, it was. Thyatira was a congregation overflowing with a genuine, warm, embracing love for their Lord and for His people. The exact opposite, let's remember this morning, of the first church, the church in Ephesus, who you remember had forsaken their first love. But oh, the Ephesus church was very diligent in keeping out error. But they did so in a way which was just going through the motions. The church in Ephesus had held the line against immoral and compromise on many fronts. But the Ephesus church, their hearts had become cold. Whereas the church in Thyatira had hearts that were glowing with ardent love for God and for each other. But they had lost their grip on the holiness God requires because their faith was no longer grounded upon the Word. The Word that says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Their faith was not grounded on the facts and on the warnings of the Word. Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such some of you were, but you were washed, you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Now you say yes, but a few chapters further in the same epistle, the Holy Spirit speaks to the Apostle Paul saying in 1 Corinthians 13, "So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love." Yes, we cannot take that away. The greatest is love. But where does love come from? Don't miss the fact that though love is the greatest, love is not first. Faith is first. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest is love. Love that comes from faith. Faith that is based in the facts of God's holy Word. Therefore, faith must remain first, the priority upon which your love grows. Love for God, love for His holiness, love for His law, love for His will. Love for the life that God has called us to live. Love working itself out in our life. In fact, Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, pursue love, he says, and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Well, what is prophecy? Prophecy is nothing but proclaiming the Word of God. It is to speak, to counsel, to preach, to proclaim, to apply the Word of God in conversation to practical life for the upbuilding, encouragement, and consolation of the church. And so between Ephesus and Thyatira, we have two extremes here presented to the churches, two extremes that must be avoided by all churches. Unloving orthodoxy and loving unorthodoxy. Both are hateful and abhorrent in the sight of God. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Ephesians 4:15 and 16. Speaking the truth in love. God's Word is truth. The only reliable foundation for true faith, the only trustworthy source of really true love. Without the grounding of true faith, love becomes too soft, too emotional, too permissive, too inclusive, yes, too tolerant, eventually accommodating the sin which results in death. The risen and reigning Christ says this to the angel of the church in Thyatira. Now I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. You see what Jesus is doing here? He's calling out the pastor. First of all, pastors are responsible for what goes on in their churches. Jesus is calling out this pastor for tolerating a licentious woman. Is she loud? Maybe. Maybe she's very soft and subtle. She's very charismatic and very convincing. Jesus is calling out this pastor for tolerating this woman in the church who boldly claims to be a prophetess. Of course she does. She has special knowledge. A prophetess with hidden knowledge of the deep things of God, so she says. Our Bibles say it's the deep things of Satan. And she must have presented these deeper truths in a very charismatic, you know, hyper-spiritual, you might even say, mystic sort of way. That likely used the word grace a lot. A way that could sway a congregation that had begun already to build off from the firm foundation, once delivered, once for all delivered to the saints. Was she a real woman? Yes, most likely. Was her name really Jezebel? No, likely not. But according to the admonition of our Lord, it should have been, for she was a Jezebel. The name Jezebel is an unmistakable reference to Old Testament King Israel's King Ahab's idolatrous queen, who maliciously enticed Israel to add Baal worship to their own religious ceremonies. 1 Kings chapters 16 to 19. And this seductive teaching of both Jezebels was similar to the doctrine of Balaam. Remember last week's sermon, the compromising Nicolaitans that our Lord condemned in the church at Pergamum. But here in Thyatira, it seems this Jezebel took things one step further, claiming that only those who descended to the very depths of the worst depravity of human conduct could ever fully know the full extent of God's saving grace to redeem your soul. In other words, those of you who have not sinned a lot cannot really be thankful for so great a salvation because you're really not saved from that much. You know, if you were a great sinner like me, then you'd really be praising God. Then you'd really know what salvation was all about. And people bought into this. Just for the record, all of us are terrible sinners. Okay, we're such terrible sinners. Let's not think we're not. Our depravity is worthy of eternal damnation. Isn't that bad enough? That's bad enough, right? We don't need a Jezebel telling us that we should be worse than we are. You and I are plenty bad the way it is. Condemnable, damnable in the sight of God. And that's why our joy in Christ is full and should be full. And you and I only need think on how great our sin and misery are to remember how wonderful our Savior Jesus Christ is. We don't need this kind of doctrine of demons to tell us that we should descend even lower and lower, and only those who've been in the deepest depths can possibly know. Her teaching encouraged church members to sin that grace may abound the more. And the Bible is very clear that this sin involved the sensual banquet sponsored by none other than the trade guilds in service of their patron gods. Participation, of course, was also good for your business or whatever trade, whatever factory you owned, and one's popularity and prosperity in the city pretty much depended on participation in this dissipation. It was the ancient version of sleeping your way to the top, sex for success. Jesus says, "I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality." By which we learn she'd been a member of the church for quite some time. She knew very well all the doctrines of the church. "Behold, I will throw her," Jesus says. "Behold, I will strike her." You see, Christ going to war against this woman. The one with eyes that are flames of fire can see right through this toleration and promotion of sin. Jesus himself will throw this adulteress upon a bed of sickness. Is it venereal disease? Perhaps. Jesus himself will strike her children dead. Her own biological children? Maybe. That is one of the results of untreated venereal disease, is dead children. But it's not exclusively her own biological children. I mean, venereal disease will also make you sterile, unable to have children. This reference undoubtedly includes all those who have become her children, that is to say, her followers, her disciples who have joined her in her degraded lifestyle. And when this happens, when judgment comes upon her, Jesus said, "Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches mind and heart." You see, there's the reference back to the eyes of flaming fire. "And I will give to each of you according to your works." And there's the rod of iron. at work, smashing that which is against the will of God. What a word for the church too tolerant today. What a word. What a warning. And it's always been here in the Holy Bible. The church has no excuse not to know these things. We conclude this morning with the sign of authority in the morning star given to conquerors. Jezebel thought that she was superior to all the other members of the church. She thought she was really smart and really, really spiritual. How wrong she was. But not everyone in the Thyatira congregation followed her. Praise God for that. God preserves His own. See, 7,000 in every age who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Literally. To them, Jesus said, "Hold fast what you have until I come." Hold fast. What a word for us. Hold fast. Just hang on. You know what you know. Don't let other people drag you away. Don't let other people sway you with their hyper-spirituality. You know what's right. You've got the Word of God in your hand. You know what the Bible says. Hold on. They had the truth of God's Word. By the grace of God, they had true faith. And they had true love growing out of their faith. True love for God and true love for their fellow man. They needed to exercise it, to confront what was wrong. Hold on, Jesus said, and you'll be conquerors with me. And you'll be given authority with the Son of God to rule the nations. And we will reign with Him forever and ever. These are glorious scriptural truths found in the whole counsel of God. Thyatira thought its military hardware was second to none. But God has given His only begotten Son and those who are conquerors with Jesus Christ, authority and a rod of iron to dash the earthen pots of this world's power structures to pieces, to dash them to splinters, to powder. And I will give him the morning star. Now this, of course, was the false presumption of Satan, of Lucifer, right? The bright one, the shining one, the brightest light of heaven. He thought he was the star. And thinking he's the star, he thinks, "I've got a star to give everybody who follows me." He even tried to use that one on Jesus. "Bow down to me and I will give you the nations of the world." Jesus said, "Worship the Lord your God and serve Him only." Get out of here. You are not the morning star. I am. Yeah, Lucifer masquerades as an angel of light. The deep things of Satan promised shining brilliance, both in the world and in the church. Promised shining brilliance, but brought stinging pain and death, as sin always does. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, we read, "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and offspring of David. I am the bright morning star. Even so, all conquerors are being promised Christ Himself." Beloved, let every Christian find their identity in Jesus and find their destiny in Jesus Christ as well. You belong to Him. You need no other. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, how wonderful Thou art, how faithful and true. Lord, we thank Thee for commending that which is commendable, the virtues that are produced in Your people. Lord, we pray that the fruits that we bear may be fruits of faith, done according to Thy Word, done according to Thy will and Thy holy law, and not, Lord, not which is acceptable or pleasing to the world. Lord, how great Thy faithfulness in confronting and condemning what is false. And Lord, You know the situation in Your churches around the world, especially in the decadent and degraded West. Lord, so many Thyatira churches too tolerant in the name of love. And Lord, how wrong they are and how displeasing in Thy sight. Lord, continue to make us alert. Prevent, Lord God, that we may not become an Ephesus. Prevent also that we not become a Thyatira. Lord, we pray that You will help us, Lord, to keep the balance. Lord, both orthodox and genuinely loving. Lord, preserve us in this by Thy grace and by Thy Holy Spirit, which Thou alone canst give. Lord, for this we plead, for this we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The Morning Star, how bright appears the Morning Star, number 336, the three stanzas. Thank you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.